Today, we stand before the cross, a place which evokes a deep sense of mystery. We relive the story once again, as we do each year on this day. We are told that there were throngs of people at Golgotha. Among those who had followed Jesus were those who had derided him, those who had feared him, and those who had loved him, being his mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, his disciples and others who had come to love this Son of Man. He who was one of them, and yet he was also one with seemingly magical powers and incredible authority to right wrongs, to give the discriminated a voice, to give strangers the feeling of inclusion. Here he was on the cross. How could this be happening? Has it ever been your experience that you are amid activity going on around you and you say to yourself, this can't be happening? Not now, not to me or to my loved one. It seems surreal. I can't believe it. And yet, it is happening. You don't know how you do it, but you persevere and you get yourself through it by adrenaline, by courage, by simply existing and letting the events happen to you. We have each stood before the cross. As a result, we may feel the bitterness of regret, the sharp sting of guilt, of remorse that can overwhelm us, sadness, sorrow, deep pain which may become despair, anxiety, anger, and grief. All of these emotions we have felt. We feel what is going on in the world around us. A mother mourning the random murder of her 16-year-old son on the TTC becomes a modern-day warrior, asking the questions, when is it going to stop this senseless violence? And what are we going to do about it? She stands before the empty cross, directing our attention to it. We ask what's wrong with our refugee system that drives families with young children to take risks, crossing the chilly rushing water of the St. Lawrence, heading to the U.S., a risk gone terribly wrong, and 8 people, including 2 children, perish. What are we going to do about it? We read of states in the U.S. where people with assault rifles are more welcome than gay people, where books about being trans or queer are banned, but heavy-duty guns are not. Places where Jews face the terror of anti-Semitism within living memory of the Holocaust. What are we going to do about it? None of us can withstand being before the cross for too long. We turn away, the body is removed, and all that is left is the empty cross. How do we respond to this cross that we stand before? Oh, we can stay in pain, in grief, in anger. However, we know that this overwhelming sense of pain cannot be withstood by us for too long. Are there other options? We are a people who live in relation to one another. We benefit from kindness, from a hug, and from respect from one another. The essence of Christianity is relationship, to live in loving relationship with God and to live in love among each other, treating each of us as we would want ourselves to be treated. So how do we draw upon this resource of relationship? One way is to grab hold of one another as the women did that day at the foot of the cross, holding on with as much strength as possible, as if our life depended upon it. Another option is to tell stories. These stories allow us to share the connective experience of what it is to be human in this world. As you know, I help run a charity that provides housing for ex-prisoners. I've learned that this is not work for the faint of heart. My initial somewhat naive thoughts of support have been altered by stories told of neglect, abuse, addiction, of pain too hard to live with. Our board meetings sometimes devolve into storytelling. I've learned that we need this as catharsis. I recall the night that I was awake most of the night thinking about the task in the morning to evict a man who, after spending many years in jail, now returned to his demon addictions, and with it, wild antisocial behavior, taking kitchen knives from our house out to a public park and threatening to harm innocent bystanders. The other folks in the house were also at risk. We set up our agency to provide housing, not to take it away, but take it away we had to do that morning, knowing that he would end up on the street. We tell each other the story to give one another comfort that we can't solve all that harms the world. We do what we can and we keep ourselves strong to try to respond to the next person. We talk of our successes to keep ourselves upbeat and sane. Another resident, Carlos, was a smart, hopeful young man who had dreams, but circumstances in his life turned out to be entirely different, and he was convicted of drug trafficking from Mexico into the U.S. He too stood before the cross as a young man in disbelief that this was happening to him. In prison for 14 years in Florida, he decides to fight back, to try to regain who he believed that he was meant to be. In the words of Richard Rohr, he sought his true self. Through perseverance, strength, through setbacks and deep pain, he slowly figured out who he really was. He finished a university business degree online. He was not a U.S. citizen, but a Canadian, kind of accidentally, almost by birth. So once released, he would be deported to Canada, to a country where he had no connections, no friends, no family. Upon release from prison, he was detained by ICE, the U.S. Immigration Enforcement Agency. This, for him, was purgatory, being the first summer of COVID, and there were no vaccines, just fear of the unknown and ever-increasing death counts. The dormitory in Florida had 80 men in each room. His sister reached out to us. Could we take him, she frantically asked. Would we? We would normally interview potential new residents, but ICE detention does not permit that. Would we take a chance? We're a group connected by our faith, an ecumenical, now interfaith group. We recognize that we too had each stood before our own crosses. That fundamental sharing of human pain and hope connected us. Yes, we said, not fully appreciating what we had signed up for. Yes, we will take him. A written commitment sent to ICE resulted in Carlos being put on a plane 2 days later. Carlos arrived at our house, a strange country meeting housemates and support workers. Not scared, but anxious, he said. I wanted to get on with my life. Was it faith, determination, kindness and support that propelled Carlos to get a job as a movie extra and then working in a shelter as a COVID screener? After nearly 2 years with us, he was able to return to Colombia, to his home, to be reunited with his children and to start a business and to continue to support our organization and his former housemates. He says, though, I will never be truly free. The stigma of being an ex-prisoner stays with me for life. The crowd at Golgotha eventually dispersed that day. They left the cross behind, as will we as we depart this day. This powerful story of mystery, of trauma and of profound grief, of faith and ultimately of love, went with them that day and has changed the course of history over two millennia. Our stories, they might not have the same impact, but they're ours to be shared, to keep us alive, to remind us of our shared humanity. As David read in Isaiah 53, out of his anguish he will see light. In the depth and darkness of sorrow, as we stand before the cross, we look for a tiny ray of hope. Amen.